broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. This is indeed the broadcast for June 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour 2 of 2, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. All right. With that, I got Pete Sepp with me, National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, my friend.
Great to be here.
All right, a couple of quick stories that we talked about from last hour. Secretary of the Interior Ryan Zinke says that, hey, we might get rid of 1,000 jobs over at the BLM, Bureau of Land Management, by 2018. And what I find is, you know, Donald and his administration have really overpromised and underdelivered to the point of just absolute ad nauseum. I mean, it's crazy. Okay, Waste Watch, which is Steve, what's his last name, Kurt?
Russell.
Steve Russell created.
Congressman
Waste Watch has already uncovered, literally, folks, $300 billion of government waste. Did you hear me? $300 billion in government waste since its first publication. I don't know how long he's been publishing this thing, but it's recent times for sure. And now we talked about this headline from a Chicago Tribune reporter. What's his name? John Cass?
That's correct.
All right. And the article, What to Do with a Broken Illinois, Dissolve the Land of Lincoln. In other words, the idea is just get rid of Illinois, let other states carve up the pieces. The problem is Illinois is melting down and bankrupt, but all the other states are not too far behind. Sam and Kurt talked about the Dave Ramsey idea. Look, you've got to cut up the credit cards. The equivalent is you've got to stop government from borrowing money. And secondly, you can appropriately use the snowball effect, as Dave Ramsey talks about, and pay off debts. There's literally ways you can have sunset provisions. You can scale back the size and scope of government over a short but reasonable period of time so you don't crash the plane, but you appropriately land it. We realize there'll be some hard choices that have to be made, but you can keep most people alive. In other words, do the least amount of damage done possible. Keep as many promises as possible. But there are ways out of this debt. And literally carving up the state of Illinois and just simply shirking responsibility is not the answer. The Dave Ramsey approach that Kirk Crosby talks about is the answer. You got to start with sound principles, and you got to start with hard decisions. And it won't be fun, it won't be pleasant, but it is, I'm going to say that again, it is absolutely doable. Pete Sepp, National Taxpayers Union, I want to get your take on that. Bottom line, $300 billion discovered in waste, and then you got Illinois melting down. The real answer is to follow Dave Ramsey-esque principles and keep as many promises as we can. We can't just melt down. We can't just shirk our responsibility. Those aren't options. The real option is to face the music, to quit taking another swig from the false economic prosperity bottle, and come to the senses of the truth. And there are ways to make a difference. There are ways to rein in out-of-control government. There are ways to reduce expenditures. But until you start truly reducing expenditures, you're not going to gain any ground. And the problem is just going to get worse. Are we crazy on this one, Pete?
No, I'm afraid not. And in fact, there are lots of reports like Waste Watch that suggest that there are plenty of places to begin reducing federal spending. We have one of them as well. And this one has the interesting twist that it has support from the left-wing community. National Taxpayers Union Foundation got together with U.S. Public Interest Research Group. That was an organization that Ralph Nader funded a long, long time ago, back in the 1970s, I believe it was. And we decided, okay, we fight like cats and dogs sometimes over fiscal policy issues, but what can we agree on? And we did agree on a lot. We found $263 billion, with a B, in wasteful, low priority, or obsolete federal programs that could be cut from the budget. A whole list of them.
Now, I don't see Donald doing anything about this that's substantive. I hear a little tweak here or there that garners great headlines, but it's an overpromise, underdeliver scenario, to say the least. I'm not here to attack Donald, but what I am here to say is we need a presidential commission with some media personnel that can, you know, the new media taking center stage to report what's happening. Some people behind the scenes that can really run the numbers and run the reality checks. Some congressmen and senators that can force legislative agenda to accomplish these goals. We could put together a presidential commission on this tomorrow if Donald would let us, Pete.
Well, and I think, frankly, the Office of Management and Budget needs to have more personnel on the scene to be able to do this kind of thing. Mick Mulvaney, the director of the budget and the director of that office, was a stalwart fiscal conservative member of Congress from South Carolina before he was named to that post. Excellent intellect, excellent energy and drive. He's got to have more people. And I think that would help greatly with this administration.
What if we shut down the IRS and give the staff to Mick?
There's a possibility.
We could shut down the Interior Department and give that staff to Mick. I mean, you know, hey, there's a target-rich environment here, folks. We could start all kinds of places. You could even literally say, I'm going to take 50 people from the top largest five government organizations and give them 250 people and say, all right, now let's get to work. But again, how do we get this to get – right now we're just like stuck on stupid. We talk big. We fire the guns. We overpromise. We underdeliver. But we don't really get it done. I don't really see, since the Republicans took office and since Donald took office, and now they just added two more to their ranks in these special elections in the last, you know, 5 days, I don't see a single sea change at all that's going to make a difference. There's some token ideas. There's some – platitudes, but I don't see any real changes that are substantive enough to make any difference at all. And I'm not trying to be critical, but I am trying to be a realist.
Well, and I think there has to be more collaboration and cooperation between Congress and the White House over this. You know, when Donald Trump released first what they called the skinny budget, an outline, if you will, of certain principles and certain places where they would begin reform, and then when they released the fully detailed budget several weeks later, what was the response from a lot, not all, but a lot of Republican members of Congress? Well, this is dead on arrival. We're not going to even consider the proposals in here. They would be catastrophic to our states and districts, so on and so forth. That is not cooperation or collaboration. If they do indeed belong to the same political party and share the same fiscally conservative philosophy, the first thing you'd like to
do. But hold
on,
Pete, let me stop you. They don't. We used to believe the Republicans were unified for the most part and had this idea that if they could just get enough authority, just get enough people in place, they could make the difference. Now they have the White House, they have the House, they have the Senate, they have the courts, they have more state legislative control than any organization on the planet, and now they're melting down in their own political divisions to the point where they can't get anything done. So this idea that they are on the same page is not even close.
Well, then they need to try, and they have to do it better, because right now you have power still vested in the hands of a few appropriators in Congress who get to say, forget about this budget, we're going to do our own thing the way we've always been doing it, which is what's gotten us into this trouble.
Thus the secretive healthcare reality that's supposed to be released today. Do you have any intel on that?
Well, we continue to think that the Senate's plan is frankly going to spend more money and probably cut fewer taxes than the House's health care reform plan. And of course, there are those who say that the House's plan probably didn't do enough to tear down the structure of Obamacare in the first place.
Well, let's be clear. It's not a repeal at all.
No. It leaves in place or creates new types of programs that essentially function like the old ones.
What it really says is we don't like the way the Republicans paint the fence. We're going to paint it our way, and our way is better, but we're not taking down the fence. We're just repainting the fence, and it's just whose idea we like better about how to paint the fence.
Yeah, and here again, I think part of the problem, and I will give President Trump credit for saying when the effort to repeal Obamacare faltered, when he said, well, maybe we need to leave this in place just to show people how bad the status quo is going to get. I don't think that's all that great of an idea for America, but I think he had at least a thought behind that principle that he expressed, in that the status quo is something that many Americans believe we can somehow sustain, that, oh, if we do anything to replace Obamacare, you're taking away coverage from millions of Americans. They're going to lose it anyway under Obamacare because it is unaffordable and unsustainable, not over 10 years, but over 2 or 3 years.
Well, and I think Donald's point is well taken. The problem is that if you're not very careful, the mainstream press is very good at lying and manipulating reality. Pretty soon, the Republicans will get the blame. It's like, look, you guys have been in power 2 years, 4 years, whatever the number is. You've had opportunities. You've watched this thing slowly but surely topple. You could have done something about it. You didn't. You know, it was working when Barack had the helm. And since you guys took the helm, it's not working because you made this or that or whatever small change or didn't act when this and that. You could have gone for a single health care system and you didn't. And they'll just simply lay it at the feet of the Republicans if they're not very, very careful. Pete Sepp, National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org in seconds.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, I'm a little bit too hard on Pete Sepp and a little bit too negative in the sense that I'm saying, look, there are no answers here. We're not doing anything. We're just melting down. And I think Pete Sepp's right to give Donald Trump some credit on this. I think Donald has really been trying in many ways. But I think the environment is so toxic. And the reason that I'm a little bit so hardcore on this, Pete, is because while I'm talking about this and being a little bit too hard on this point, you've got guys like Michael Savage and Rush Limbaugh literally saying a civil war is about to occur in America. You've got literally Black Lives Matters and these other organizations, and I'm not trying to drag you into a political quagmire here, but you've got a whole states melting down like Illinois. You've got literally billions of dollars being lost due to forced meltdown and literally people rioting in the streets. And literally, if you're a Trump supporter, you get abused and beat up and maybe killed nowadays. You've got a toxic environment, and it's only going to get worse if we don't get a handle on this. So I don't mean to be too hard on you. I know you're doing the very best you can, and I know we are as well. I'm just pointing out that at some point we're going to have to get tougher in our rhetoric, or you know what? Michael Savage and others who are predicting a civil war or a complete meltdown and societal unrest, they may be right. And I sure pray they're not right. So I'm hoping to do something that may be a little more stepped up than we've done in the past to get a different result or change. But I don't want to be so hardcore that we do nothing and ignore it. But I also don't want to be so hardcore that I help foment it or whatever you want to say. Does that make any sense?
Well, there is, I think, a greater sense of urgency now than ever before that we are really approaching a fiscal meltdown in this country. I mean, we've been saying this now, Sam, for the better part of 30 years, I guess, right around when Ronald Reagan became president, when we had seen unprecedented deficit spending. The national debt when Reagan took office was just about $1 trillion. Now, of course, it's over $20 trillion, way faster than inflation or even faster than our economy has grown. We really are running out of chances to make a course correction. Some would say we've already run out of them, and nothing we do can possibly save the ship from sinking.
Well, and maybe we can't save the ship from sinking. We certainly can do a lot of good, though, making it not as hardcore or as uncontrolled, if you will. In other words, the plane's going to land. We can either bury our head in the sand and crash, or we can intelligently make choices that can improve the stability and safety and the softness of the landing, if you will. That's my opinion.
Yeah. And I think you're right in the sense that let's just take a look at the fiscal situation here, the fact that we have very little capacity in the future to do any of the things we've done in the past when there's been an economic downturn. We borrow a bunch of money, try to spend it on so-called shovel-ready projects, or we give out tax rebate checks, which really aren't good, thoughtful policy. They're just giving people money rather than cutting rates, doing the simplification, things that will sustain an economy over the long term. But the point is, our national debt is already hovering near 100% of our annual economic output. If we have another crash, something on the order of 2008, even half as bad, we are going to see a borrowing binge or an economic calamity that we won't be able to get out of. And I think that is a big change from what's been happening, and it's only going to get worse with the entitlement programs. Here again, we were talking about this 20 years ago in the 1992 presidential campaign with Ross Perot. Even Bill Clinton was saying, don't stop thinking about tomorrow, citing a song and saying we've got to do something about entitlements. Well, it's now 25 years later.
And we've done nothing but increased the entitlements, and the Senate in secret is about to do it again.
And this is very, very worrisome. You know, if the House and Senate leadership wanted to do something about their health care plan, I think the number one priority should be messaging, saying from here on out, our plans are not different in that we want to spend $300 billion more on a soft landing of getting people out of Medicaid than the other. We need to start saying things like, look, in 2 years, there will be no insurance coverage in the exchanges in many states for millions of Americans. Premiums will continue to rise by double digits. Taxes will continue to phase in that are less and less affordable for Americans. That is the status quo that we are trying to change. Any plan has to be evaluated against a worsening status quo, not evaluated by itself. That's the problem with these Congressional Budget Office scores. They talk about 10, 20, 30, 50, pick a number, however many million people losing their health insurance coverage. That is happening under Obamacare now, and the CBO does not sufficiently recognize that.
And it's happening at a mass rate, though. I mean, big insurers are pulling out of states at a swath. I mean, it's just like boom, 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 boom. Companies are literally jettisoning left and right. This isn't like a slow dismantling at this point. It's overnight for many Americans.
Yes, it is. And
that's kind of why I mean that I don't want to be too hardcore, but at the same time, this isn't something that I'm causing or anything. This is the reality that we're facing, right?
Right. And I've constantly tried to stress this with members of Congress on the tax reform front. You know, here some lawmakers are starting to lose their nerve. They're saying, well, it's just too hard to remake our tax system, to overhaul everything and simplify it. Let's just say we'll cut taxes by 5% across the board, and we'll worry about cleaning up the system after the next election. We don't have that kind of time, and by sitting still, we are falling behind. It's not as if other countries are sitting around on their hands saying, well, let's see what the midterms in the United States Congress elections do, and we'll consider whether we're going to cut and reform our tax systems too. No, they're doing it on their own, and they're allowing us to be even less competitive in the process.
Now, I've been pretty negative on purpose to paint a picture, to help people understand that you've got other talk show hosts literally talking of civil war and civil unrest in America. I'm talking about how we're going to have a change here to create a soft, peaceful landing because we've gotten the economic situation that we're struggling to get out of. Now, is it bad? Absolutely. Do we need to make a change? Without question. But what I want to focus on with Pete Sepp for the rest of the hour is, you know, it is the way it is, and Americans can't make the changes that you and I would like to make individually. I can't just tomorrow fix it. I can't control Donald. I can't create a presidential commission. There's only so much I can do on my own. However, and this is the whole point, there are things that I personally can do. Number one, we've started a radio show. We've been on the air for 20 plus years, almost 25 years now. We've been interviewing Pete Sepp at the National Taxpayers Union the whole time. And our goal is to grow awareness and encourage involvement in solutions. And the National Taxpayers Union can give you the pay dirt on what's happening on the national level, on the state level, and on the localist of levels, because they've got a program where you can partner with them. And when you partner with them, they'll even help you with some funding to create an organization in your area. And we literally have cities and counties and states and even on the federal level, people that are working together for the changes we talk about. And yeah, you can't fix the world by 3 o'clock. I agree with that. But I also agree that there are things that you can do. And I can only do what I can do. Pete can only do what he can do. Kirk can only do what he can do. But before you know it, the synergistic efforts of all of us together will have a change, will make a difference, will soften this landing, will have an effect. Pete, you've been watching people do this for 20 plus years, and I agree it's not enough yet, but you've got success after success after success to point to, right?
Absolutely. And we can talk about this at length after the next break, but we just had one of those successes in the state of Ohio, where a constitutional reform commission was going to take away the citizens' rights to petition and win ballot measure fights. And it took just a handful of concerned people willing to go to Columbus and testify against it to make sure that those bad so-called reforms were tabled. We won, and it just took a few people willing to speak out.
Now, I agree. Sometimes it takes a little bit of money to do some of those things. That's why the National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org, will partner with you. But it doesn't take as much money as you think. In fact, if you want to look at the handle race in Georgia, they literally spent $55 million, the largest or the most expensive House race in history. And the guy that spent most of the money lost. In Donald Trump's presidential bid, yeah, he spent plenty of money, but compared to the previous rounds before the Donald spent a lot less money. So it's about activism, ladies and gentlemen. It's about feet on the ground. And yes, it takes a little bit of money, but there are ways to accomplish plenty. We can do more with less is the point. Pete Sepp with us, NTU.org. Details of solutions and how you can be involved continues on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Some people are unhappy that Amazon is successful. Now that Amazon is buying Whole Foods, Douglas Rushkoff of Fast Company wants the government to break up Amazon. He's uneasy that the company generates 30% of online and offline retail and has 40% of the internet cloud services. He said Amazon is, quote, an impending monopoly. Even though Amazon delivers products cheaply, efficiently, and has made the lives of a lot of people better, he thinks it needs to be singled out. The Washington Post has published an editorial saying that single-payer health care will not work in the U.S. The cost would, in the words of the paper, be astonishing. The editorial referenced the Urban Institute calculating the cost of single-payer to be $32 trillion over the next decade. Single-payer would be politically unpopular. Quote, "To realize the single-payer dream of coverage for all and big savings, medical industry players, including doctors, would likely have to get paid less, and patients would have to accept different standards." You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Audio Compass is the perfect software solution for remote broadcasting. Consider Audio Compass for sporting events, talk show hosts, sound bites from the field, and more. Allow Audio Compass to transfer low-delay, crystal-clear audio over the Internet. AudioCompass.com.
There is a place you can go to get up to speed quickly on all the stories that matter to freedom-loving people. GovernAmerica.com features news and commentary about Agenda 21, technocracy, the economy, border violence, and more. Go to GovernAmerica.com. That's GovernAmerica.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live. Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, Pete Sepp, National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org on your radio. We are talking about how things are big trouble, for sure, for America, folks, but it isn't over. The fat lady ain't sung, if you will. Americans are truly making a difference. Get involved in the solutions today is my headline. I'm going to say that again. Americans are truly making a difference. Get involved in the solutions today. Pete, with that, let's continue. You've got one success in Ohio, right?
Yes, absolutely. This came to my attention thanks to Paul Jacob of Citizens in Charge Foundation. What they do,
by the way, he's a great friend of ours. Keep going.
Yeah. And there was a fellow in Ohio by the name of Ron Albin. He is a taxpayer activist that I know from many years back. He was the fellow who helped to spearhead the campaign in Ohio to repeal his state's inheritance and estate tax. In other words, the state-level death tax in Ohio. He succeeded.
In other words, taxes that directly relate to the Communist Manifesto getting shut down, people.
That's right. That's right. And Ron discovered that there is something called a Constitutional Modernization Commission in the state of Ohio, staffed with a lot of former public officials who basically determined that the citizens' right to petition their government, put binding laws on the state ballot, was something that was just too inconvenient for the smooth functioning of government. They recommended reforms that, for example, called upon a higher threshold of voter passage required for citizen proposed amendments than for amendments to the Constitution proposed by the legislature. They would allow government officials to do something called writing and approving the ballot titles. In other words, they would get to decide how to word a proposal on the ballot that went to citizens. Well, when they get to control the language, that automatically creates a bias in favor of government. Now, these recommendations were essentially shutting down the rights of citizens in Ohio to do things like propose limitations on taxes and spending on Ohio governments, make other important changes to limit the power of government and increase economic freedom. Ron decided he wasn't going to accept that. He began showing up at the hearings of this organization. He also began recruiting other citizen groups like National Taxpayers Union to submit testimony about how this was unfair. There should not be two different sets of rights to put amendments on the ballot between government and its citizens. And we started submitting comments. He started submitting comments. More citizens started showing up at these hearings, which were previously very obscure. And I learned about a week ago that these recommendations, after receiving so much public outcry, were tabled. And the commission simply disassembled its meeting after looking really shell-shocked by the fact that there were enough people who cared and showed up to these hearings and said, we're not going to surrender our rights. And that's a victory.
It's a victory, but we got to remain vigilant, because what they'll do is they'll let us all go home and they'll come back and reconvene and sell us down the river if we don't stay vigilant.
That's right. That's right. That's what makes this very important. And it's another one of these lessons, though, that if you have a permanent presence, if you have these taxpayer watchdogs at the state and local level willing to question, willing to take a look at all of these public notices of hearings, et cetera, that are often buried in newspaper ads or not delivered sufficiently with advance notice for people to actually make comments. If you have folks on the ground who are watching these developments, you are way, way ahead. And, you know, here is
And if you don't, the National Taxpayers Union will help you create those groups, right?
That's right. And that's my pitch. The fact is, you don't have to have a lot of money, as you said. You don't have to even have a lot of people. You can have a very small group of folks who simply have the time and energy to keep their eyes open and ask questions. You don't even have to organize huge protests. Many times, all it takes is one person showing up at a public hearing, which are often televised on local cable access, to start asking questions saying, wait a minute, you say you need a 15% increase in the parks and recreation budget, and you're not hiring any more employees, you're not increasing the amount of park space, what are you spending this money on? That often makes elected and appointed officials uncomfortable, but when you start asking those questions and you don't get any answers, more people notice, and suddenly you have a movement on your hands.
And it's a movement that is based in solutions. You know what? The founders gave all they had on the altar of liberty, their honor, their fortunes, their very lives. We're not asking for any of that. We're just asking you to put in a little bit of time every day. A little bit of money, not a lot, less than a dollar a day in many cases. And we're asking people to just simply be involved and be accountable and hold people accountable and say, look, we have got to do this. A lot of people say, I'm not political, Sam. And my response is, this isn't a political discussion. This is a security for our nation and a stability for our nation discussion. You care about that for yourself and hopefully for our children. Kurt, what do you think of this? Pete Sepp and others actually doing a lot of good. Have you heard the media tell you anything about the things we're talking about today?
Well, you know, it's exactly the reason that we invite Pete Sepp and have for, I don't know how many years.
Almost 25,
program,
sir.
You know, because they do focus on solutions and they do work on them. And, you know, just like the congressman, the good congressman from Oklahoma that has a waste watch, you know, if so many times we wouldn't try to reinvent the wheel, we just use the wheel that, you know, the people, good folks at National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org, have put together, we'd be far and advanced along the way. Pete, do you get any, you know, I guess you could say support or, you know, help from, like, Steve Russell, for example?
Oh, yes, we very much do. And there are members of Congress who are very conscientious about their jobs, about trying to protect taxpayer dollars, trying to make sure that government is not only accountable but less burdensome on the American people. Many times they run up against a brick wall from their more senior colleagues who just want to keep the status quo going and going. But I think they are gradually making a difference. Again, though, there is a sense of urgency now about many of these problems coming home to roost and how we're going to start tackling them. If we don't do so more aggressively and much more quickly, we're going to be in a world of hurt.
How about Steve Scalise? You know, I know that he's in trouble now, and we pray for a speedy recovery, etc. Is he one of the movers and shakers that's to the good, or is he one of those guys that are the insiders like some of the others that seem to be making it difficult for us?
I definitely think to the good. He was involved with the so-called Republican Study Committee, which is a conservative caucus within the House of Representatives, not quite as conservative as the so-called Freedom Caucus, but again, very helpful, very smart about not only what kinds of policies can members of Congress coalesce around, but how to count. You know, when you're the majority whip, as Congressman Scalise is, you have to be able to determine how many members of your caucus are going to vote the right way on an issue on a given day. And he's been very perceptive at figuring that out.
You want to respond to that, Kurt?
Well, yeah. I mean, imagine saying that a member of Congress has to be able to count. You know, that's a pretty important thing, you know, a requirement for Congress. I mean, you know, the rest of us need to be able to count as well. And when we see that, those trillions going up. One other thing I wanted to ask Pete was, you know, you're probably familiar with the Dave Ramsey program, and the guy, you know, is certainly been, you know, heard all over the place. Now, my, I've personally contacted them and asked them if they have a program, you know, a specific part of their ministry, if you will, that deals with governments, deals with local, state, federal, whatever governments. They said no, but Sam, by the way, you know, kind of answered their thing, and I'm pretty sure that's the way they would look at it. He said, look, you use the same principles, and it works fine even for governments. What do you say, Pete?
Yeah, absolutely so. Sure, there are differences in how families and governments operate, but not that many.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Pete Sepp with us, National Taxpayer Union. We're saying Dave Ramsey's plan to work great for bloated, fat, obese government. And we got to start somewhere. There are other solutions people are working on that you need to know about. We'll tell you in seconds.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
This is Solutions Radio. We've talked about many a solutions. I said we ought to have a presidential commission that could literally take the information from National Taxpayers Union and from Waste Watch and others and literally bring it to bear. Create accountability for those who spent the money wrongfully. Create accountability on the front end with the incredible research of the National Taxpayers Union and others, where they could basically tell us what's about to happen. Oftentimes, we know that they're going to spend us into oblivion before they do it. The reports from Waste Watch and others are just the back-end reality check on what was predicted by NTU and others. We could literally put people together that could prevent a lot of this from happening, reduce the size and scope of government. That's one great solution. The other great solution is to use the Dave Ramsey plan. I'm telling you, it can work for individuals, families, and obese, bloated governments. You can literally cut up the credit cards. In other words, stop the ability to spend into oblivion. And then slowly but surely find ways to reduce the size and scope of government. And, you know, you start by just a penny or 1%, if you will. Penny on every dollar. And you just simply say, look, we're cutting a penny this week. And then a few months later, you can cut another penny. And people can adjust and change and good things can happen. In fact, Rand Paul trying to do that right now. Right now, this secret legislative agenda going through the Senate has got a lot of people riled up for good reason. But Rand Paul just reintroduced his Read the Bills resolution. Now, I'm a little bit sad that it's not the Read the Bills Act. It's a resolution at this point. But at least it's being brought up by Rand Paul. Pete, that makes a lot of difference. If you'd read the bills, and the other idea was to put bills on a single page, you could really make a difference. Right now, we pass all kinds of things, and they're like, well, you got to pass it so you can eventually find out what's in it. That talk is crazy.
Yeah, absolutely so. And, of course, I just learned during this program, during the half-hour break, that Senate Republicans had released the text of their version of the Obamacare repeal and replace bill. So we'll have to study that. That's going to take a lot of reading, and here's hoping that we all get the time to do it. I think the Senate's going to allow that, and we're going to have to scrutinize it very carefully.
I concur completely. While the budget office will be reviewing it and providing a report, you guys will be doing the same, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we want to keep an eye on that and have you back to break that sucker down as soon as you chomp on that big old massive morsel, if you will. It's also important that we realize I kind of like the Steve King bill, which was just simply we hereby abolish Obamacare. It's repealed as of the end of 2018 or 2017. It's just simply repealed. Can't we just have something that simple, Pete?
You could do that. There is a statutory citation for the so-called Affordable Care Act. You could easily pass a bill that says statute and put the citation in there, is hereby repealed upon this act becoming a public law.
And the reason that I say it should be that simple is because what happens is every time you add a line item, a provision, or whatever you want to use, an idea, a suggestion, what. Instantly, you get friends and foes on that, and it becomes a big old, you know, political fiasco. A great example is right now the House put, they're going to, you know, promote pro-life and reject spending on abortion via Planned Parenthood. I agree with that provision 1,000%. Don't misunderstand the point. However, it has nothing to do with the repeal of Obamacare. Now, what they're trying to do is they're trying to put something on to something else to where, you know, you pass the whole ball of wax. But it's that very idea of mixing issues and adding things to the mix that complicates it and literally makes it about impossible to accomplish. Look, do we want to get rid of Obamacare? Yes or no? If so, repeal it. One line, done. Now, if you say we need to have something in place, we can talk about a solution after that. If you want to get rid of Planned Parenthood and shut down the pro-death industry, by all means, but it's a different topic. And the sooner we learn to create simple issue bills that are straight up and down votes, the sooner we can put people on record, and the sooner we can create accountability and the greater chance of passage, Pete. Is this crazy or is that right?
Not necessarily wrong. I mean, if there are queasy folks in Congress who say, well, we can't just repeal this thing immediately upon it becoming public law, well, put a date in there. Not too hard.
Or repeal pieces. It's simply say it's not mandatory to be part of the healthcare government solution or you get fined. We just simply say, hey, there's no fines anymore if you don't have Obamacare. Boom. You can take pieces
didn't Trump basically do that with an executive order right at the beginning of his stay in office? Basically,
no.
So that means you're not supposed to answer. You're supposed to wait for Pete to answer. So the way I remember it is that Trump directed all the officials and said, look, if there's anybody who doesn't do this, we suggest that you basically withhold any fines or any fees or anything like that, enforcement action. Wasn't that done right at the beginning of the Trump administration, Pete?
It was one of the things the administration did. Now, of course, what that means is the law is still in place and it could be enforced, and there are certain enforcement actions that would still probably be taking place, but the order is saying if there are folks who owe fines out there, don't pursue them. Folks can still pay the fines, they can still declare them on tax returns, and they probably still will do so, but that still leaves most of the law in place. It's a lot like what happened with the Spanish-American War tax, the telephone excise tax back in 1898. Federal government, this was the Bush administration, ordered the Treasury and the IRS to stop collecting it, stop penalizing people for failing to pay it, or really the companies from remitting the tax. But the law was still in place, and Congress needed to repeal that later. Otherwise, it could have started up all over again.
The problem that I have with it is the wording. He didn't really stop anything. He just said, hey, you know what? Don't prosecute this if people don't file their health care things. But the problem with that is people are still on the hook if they decide to prosecute. The IRS can still do what they want. There's no penalty or provision to stop anything. It's a great public announcement, but I don't think it goes further than that in terms of protection. If you don't do your health care, you could still get fined later down the road, even years down the road after Donald's gone, after the House changes, who knows what. What I mean is it's a great platitude, but I don't see teeth in it. Do you, Pete?
I see some teeth. Obviously, there is some relief up front for people who decide, well, the administration says I don't necessarily have to pay this, so I'm not going to. But it does, like you said, leave the law in place for some future administration to pick it all back up again.
And if the IRS goes after you, though, then you'll be in court debating if Donald was right or the IRS has the right to prosecute you. You'll never, in other words, you're caught in this no man's land. It reminds me of the state of Kansas passing a law saying you're allowed to have a silencer for a gun, or that the federal laws don't apply. Well, then when people did certain things, depending on the state law, the federal government just barbecued them. Cox and Kettler are the two examples. They were caught between state and federal law. The state said something was fine. The Fed says it wasn't fine. The state didn't defend the victims in this case, and the feds took action. I'm afraid what you've created is a no man's land where if you depend on it, though, you'll get barbecued in the end if we're not very careful.
It can be a tricky situation. And, you have to applaud the administration for doing what it thought it could within legal boundaries to try and help people. It doesn't necessarily mean they're out of the woods.
Kurt, you want to respond to that? I hope Pete's right, and I hope you're right. I'm just telling you, it sounds good, but if you're not careful, you'll just get caught in a trap.
Well, traps are what, that kind of fits with the federal government, the IRS, and all that kind of stuff. When we've told for so long that the IRS, the income tax, is a voluntary system, and yet, if you don't volunteer, you're in trouble. I would simply say this, rather than give the federal government more of your hard-earned money at this time? You know, hey, I would certainly say, look, all you got to do when you're filling out those forms, you know, in TurboTax is just put on there that you had insurance and it won't charge you the fine. You know, even if that's your way of saying, well, you know, President Trump said I didn't have to do this. I suggest that. Now, I guess it's almost like me saying, go and protest, you know, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. But at least I'm not telling you to go and, you know, blow up a building or kill some people like so many other
protesters. No, but you are telling people to testify under penalty of perjury, though.
Oh, I don't know about that. You know, I mean, because you can simply say to them, look, there was no choice on here that said, hey, President Trump said this wasn't, you know, any more due to me, or this didn't, you know, apply to me because of the change that he made. And that wasn't a choice on there. So I didn't want to choose to pay it. So here's where I am. I think it's a fair way to do it.
I hope Kurt's right, and I hope people don't get caught in the trap. Pete, what do you say?
I say be careful. Of course, and we could very well see on tax returns for this current year some kind of explanation of, or even in the instruction, some kind of explanation of the executive order that would allow people to make the proper choice. Maybe we'll see that.
Yeah, I hope, and I think we could really have pay dirt. I think the answer, though, is to simplify the bills, though, the Read the Bills Act and the single-page or single-issue bills. We need to really break this down into bite-sized chunks that we can literally push for accountability on.
Yeah, that's vitally important, and we need to keep considering individual budget cuts that we can fight for billion by billion and bring down the federal deficit.
If we could just get Congress to agree with Donald that, hey, there's not going to be a penalty anymore. I agree with Kurt. That's huge. I just hope it's real. I hope that just because Donald talks off the cuff that they'll be really backing for that. Otherwise, people will get in trouble. And I don't want that, and I don't want to encourage people to get in trouble. And so that's kind of the difficulty. I agree with Kurt and pray that Kurt's right.
Well, and we need to check the IRS rulemakings periodically and see if the tax returns are indeed being redesigned to help people understand that executive order.
Amen to that. Final comment, Kurt?
Thanks for coming being with us, Pete. We know it's you know, it's a little bit dangerous, but we appreciate you coming and trying to dodge the bullets, etc. And thank you for your efforts, you know.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Thank you, Pete. We appreciate it. There you go. Dodging bullets, ladies and gentlemen. At least it's a little peaceful on the radio compared to out in the streets these days, Kurt.
That's right.
The radio's pretty mellow.
Thank you, Pete.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I pray Kurt's right. Don't misunderstand our concerns in this or our discussion points. A lot of times we debate these issues just to bring out the real issues for folks to think about. You decide how you want to approach it. I think the Christian health solutions are the best. That's just my humble opinion. This nation shall endure.